Resurrected Republic Truth Radio Broadcast on RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Welcome to the show today, Resurrected Republic Truth Radio Broadcast. This is Tom Lacovara Stewart. Folks, I had spoken to quite a few people prior to the broadcast that I was preparing. I've been preparing since last night, and especially since 5 o'clock this morning. We are going to run some content regarding Mr. Schaefer Cox. I went to his website, and I did a copy and paste for some of the description of the show. I sent the email into our network, and for some reason, whatever was going on with that site, it caused my email here to crash, then my computer to crash. RBN was having problems loading the description into our archive preparation. I find that, you know, when something just happens to you on one end is one thing. When it's simultaneous on both ends, I can only assume that interesting little critters, or however they program these algorithms to interfere, maybe not want the message of Schaefer Cox to get out, especially now that Ammon Bundy has come out and began advocating for Schaefer Cox. That could be very powerful in itself for the Bundys to get on board with advocating for this political prisoner. So basically, hours of work right prior to this broadcast has been kind of a little bit derailed, but I have a response to that. Ladies and gentlemen, what you're about to hear is a full speech presentation by Mr. Schaefer Cox, and we will run today's planned content that was derailed tomorrow. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Schaefer Cox.
Let's all stand up and stretch a little bit, because I'm going to go for a long time. I was going to say stand up while you're clapping, but, you know, thought better of it. Okay, thanks. Where's Dean Porter? Oh, no. Let me see if I can open this. TSA might have messed it up, you know. I told him I wouldn't unlock this the last time I went through security. And they said, why not? And I thought, oh, shoot, my Constitution's in there. So I had to open it up to show him why not. Anyway, you know, we're going to hell in a freight train, you know. But it's okay to laugh about it a little bit here and there. And I want to talk about that for a second. Be real frank about that. I know why you guys are here. Okay? I know why you're here. You know what? I've been traveling all over the country. And Alaska's my favorite place. A lot of people there show up. But we're all here for the same reason. It's because we know in our gut that something is horribly wrong. You don't have to be told. Nobody told you that something was wrong. You know. Because you have a heart and a spirit and a mind that's perceptive to those things. And you got a sense. And you know when something bad is going on. And I don't know about you, but let me... I think I do know about you, but I'm going to tell you how I feel anyway. The way that I feel when I look around at this current debacle that we have and that's been building for years and years is I feel like there's just this huge power out there that's just incomprehensible, even to think about influencing it, let alone stopping it. And all I want is just to be free and to respect other people and have them respect me, and to be protected by the law and do what I want, you know, and have freedom. That's all I want. And I don't know how to argue that from all the nitty-gritty statutes and everything like that. And I don't understand all the ins and outs of this giant monster that's coming our way and bulldozing over our freedom. But I feel in my gut a resentment. And I think that you identify with this, that you shouldn't have to understand all that stuff. You shouldn't have to understand all that stuff. And that our rights are rights. And we shouldn't have to buy our rights with hassle. We shouldn't have to combat this giant monster with all this specialized knowledge and all this money and win and get our rights. You know, you hear about these guys that fought the IRS or fought the ATF or anything like this, and they're like, "Yeah, I beat them. It took me 30 years and $17,000. And you're like, that sounds like a prison sentence. 30 years and $17,000. You know, who's the real winner here? You know, they got you. They just got you the other way. You know, you might have won, but you were dead right. That just makes me sick. And it makes a lot of people sick. And we know that our nation, you know, we feel that it's getting wobbly and it's worrying us. We see this looming power. We see these videos like we saw today that they can just lock you up for any reason without a phone call or nothing. You just disappear. And so we show up here. Why? Because we don't know what else to do. And what we get told so many times that feels like you got kicked in the teeth with a government-issued boot is all you can do is you can beg the tyrant to change. You can commit your life to a long, slow drudge uphill to try to reform this monster. And your heart just sinks. You're like, oh, gosh, is that really the price of freedom? Is that our only chance? Is to try to make go to Washington? What if I ran for office and I got elected? Then I could go there to Washington where I can't have a gun. And try to be a good influence on tyranny, you know? And people think, oh, I just, you know, it just makes your heart sink. And we come to these meetings and we leave here with this list that goes down to the floor of things that you can do, you know? And well, you keep begging them and you can keep kissing the ring and maybe they'll hear you if there's enough of us. Well, you know what? That doesn't really resonate with my spirit. I can't really come out and say there's anything wrong with that stuff. But I tell you what, it doesn't make me jump out of my chair either. And I want to tell you, I'm really excited to tell you some pretty unconventional, but pretty cool stuff that we've been pioneering in Alaska. Actually, you know what? We're not pioneering it because people throughout all of human history have done this. But we're pioneering it in human memory. There's nobody alive who really remembers this, at least not in this country. I can't wait to get to that. But first, I want to hit a couple of points about this giant monster that we're trying to reform, okay? I want to explain how it works and how they got us. So I'm young. I got good eyes. I can read my notes down there. All right. The first thing that we're up against that we've got to understand our enemy, and you got to, you know, be honest about who your enemy is, and that is anyone who would take away from us the freedoms that God gave us. Anybody who, when you ask them what their authority is, their only answer is because I said so, is tyranny, and that's our enemy. We've got to recognize that. Now, that puts a lot of people in our enemy category, but you know what? That's okay. Let's first talk about the money situation. This is the main tool of tyranny. And this all comes down to legal theory, which I'm really excited to talk about because that's how we got so far off base in this country. All right? So that's what really allowed the monetary debacle to be here. But we got to understand the monetary debacle because it's the main tool. It really is the teeth of the beast. Here's how it works. All right? The Federal Reserve, which is not Federal or Reserve. It's just a cooperative of private banks that are named after their best customer. Okay? They are allowed to print up money out of thin air, just print up trillions of dollars out of thin air, and loan that to the government, to the federal government, with interest. That's a pretty good gig for them. You know, they print up dollars, thin air, loan it to them at interest. We pay the interest. That's what our income tax is for, which was passed at the same time, 1913, on Christmas Eve. There wasn't, there's question even whether there was a proper quorum. It was really shifty, and they kind of duped Woodrow Wilson into it because he was dupable, and they got it passed. Now, here's why that's so bad. You know, you might say, well, what's wrong with them printing up money out of nowhere? Well, here's how it works, okay? Dollars respond to the law of supply and demand, just like everything else does. When the number of dollars in existence goes up, the value of each one of those dollars goes down. Now, the value lost by the dollars that you held, or the retirement that was in a fixed dollar amount that you're counting on or whatever, the value lost by your dollars is value transferred to whoever printed the new dollars, whether they're a counterfeiter or a federal government. That's why the Constitution says that no state shall make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts. That is brilliant. You know why? Because you can't churn out gold and silver coins on a printing press. We would be better off even if they just actually printed them. They don't even actually print them now. They just email them. They just hold down that zero key until they've got enough money, and then they just send it off. And the enough value has to be robbed from our dollars that we worked hard for to make that email worth something, that they send to authorize people to spend those make-believe dollars into the economy. Now, what those dollars do is they go out into the economy, you know, and they bid up prices. So when people talk about the national debt and they're talking about this is something that our children are going to pay, that's not really quite accurate, you know. Our children and our grandchildren aren't necessarily going to pay that. What that's going to do, they're going to print up a bunch more money. It's going to destroy the value of the dollar. It's going to take more dollars to do the same amount of work, like I said, you know, that law of supply and demand. And prices are going to rise accordingly. And so when a Big Mac is $35, you're paying the national debt. Does that make sense? It's pretty sneaky. If they tried to raise taxes to match their spending, they'd have had a revolution a long time ago. But this is a way that they can tax us without us seeing it. Because the way it works is if they send you a bill, if you've got $100,000 in the bank, and they send you a bill for $30,000, you know, 30%. Ooh, ouch. You've got to write them a check. But here's what they can do. They can, instead of sending you a bill, which you'd be hot and bothered about, they just print up the money and they reduce, you know, they get that money. And then that by them in expanding the money supply, everybody's bank account, the purchasing power, not the dollars, number of dollars in there, but the purchasing power of those dollars is reduced by 30%. So whether you wrote them a check for $30,000 or you had everything that's out on the market go up by 30%, they still robbed you of the ability to redeem your labor for a valuable good or service that you want. That's how they can tax you without you seeing it. Now, not only does this system weaken the individual in order to strengthen the federal government, but then here's where it gets really bad. They take that money and they turn around and they offer it back to the state or the local governments with strings attached. They say, the feds, with this stolen money from you, they say, we will give you this money if you will do this to the people in your state. And they say, okay, we'll do it. Now, here's the principle. You work for whoever signs the checks. Now, what this does is this is like a wrestling move where you change from being a republic to being an empire. In a republic, the people are at the top of the food chain. And the commands roll downhill from the people on down to the government, you know, and God gave every human being the right to life, liberty, and property, and a corresponding obligation to defend those rights as an individual and through the establishing of governments to do the same. So it's only reasonable that as a government gets further and further removed from those people, their power subsequently diminishes. That's how it works. That's the logical chain of command in a free society that's operating under the sound reasoning and rule of law. But you get that money flow reversed, where the Federal Reserve can take it right away from you, give it right to the feds. Boom, we're not a republic anymore, we're an empire, where the chain of command follows the flow of money. And all of a sudden, the most far away, the most distant, the most inaccessible to us of the governments is now on top, rather than us. And so what it basically is, to boil it down into real simple terms, is the government is robbing you and giving the state and local government a cut to cooperate. And they have figured out, and they do this in other countries too, watch it. They do it to us and they do it to other countries. They don't roll in here and try to boss you around and tell you how you're going to run your life. No. They buy your friends and make your friends do it. They buy our state. They bribe our state away from us and make our state do it. They give our sheriff's department a bunch of federal funding. And then when we go to the sheriff and we say, hey, sheriff, we elected you. You are very close to the source of authority, which is us. We want you to protect us from anybody who's going to trample on our rights, no matter what they call themselves, no matter how they're organized. We want you to do that, all right? And he says, ooh, I don't know. Those people you want me to protect you from make up a pretty considerable portion of our budget. And so you've got this sheriff with torn allegiance, because we're no longer a free republic. We're a monetary inflationary empire. Does that make sense? You got that? That is huge. We've got to understand that. They've gone to great lengths to hide that from us. Now, I could go into, in fact, I will, because I want to be fair to the other side, even though I think it's totally bogus and you're going to hate it after I tell you. John Maynard Keynes, who was the socialist guru of the 50s, who was a big advocate for this inflationary system, what he said is, he said, yes, I know that when you rob this money from people and then spend it back into the economy, yeah, it hurts them. But you know what? Overall, in general, it's good for us, because the end justifies the means. And here's why. Because we take that money from them, and then the government spends it into the economy. And what that does is that creates a frenzy of activity, and more people pile on. And what that does then is it gets everybody all jizzed up and making money and working hard, and the end result is better. The end result is the average person is better off than if we hadn't robbed it from them and give the top another spin. That's the Keynesian model of economics. That is almost exclusively what they teach you in business school. And guess who funds business school? Guess who funds the educational, you know, system? Is those fiat dollars. Of course, they're not going to, you know, bash their method of funding. Now, just real briefly, what that actually does is, it doesn't create investment when the government robs from you and spends it into the economy. It creates malinvestment, because it is investment that has sprouted up around a artificial influx of government dollars rather than a natural demand in the market. And so people build their life and their business around this influx of government freshly stolen loot. And that stolen loot is fickle, and it goes from place to place. But when they inject it into the economy, it creates a bubble, a stock bubble, a housing bubble, a tech bubble. All these bubbles that we've had, you can trace their funding to injected dollars. Now, why is this good for politicians? Because they can inject it where their friends are. They can inject it to where they need votes. They can inject it to where they need donors for their campaign. This is why the politicians like this system. So you get a bubble, and then they get caught between a rock and a hard place, and you get foreign holders of dollars getting mad because they're making their dollars that they're holding worth less. And so they pull the...
Ladies and gentlemen, Schaefer Cox on Resurrect the Republic. We will fight back with the truth.
This is the most transparent administration in history.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER, stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read a few from Amazon.com. Dr. Sam Serino reviewed the Extendivite product. Good ingredients, feeling much better since taking product. It seems that the tablets work well. Once again, thank you for your product. My acid reflux has really improved thanks to the Extendivite. Together with my thumb joints, the pain is gone and I'm able to grip things much better. My friend has peripheral arterial disorder and their lower legs were hurting at a red color, but thankfully there has been a significant improvement. Kind regards, Janice. My husband feels a big difference using Extendivite. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Father of the moon, which built my sails, close the sea of tears.
Welcome back. Despite some technical difficulties that we're having today, such as our computers going down and a presentation that we had prepared for you that we were going to run regarding Schaefer Cox, which we will be running tomorrow, I assure you, come hell or high water, I decided to respond in kind in sharing one of the most powerful speeches I've ever heard a young man who was running for Congress, who was politically targeted and thrown into a political prison, speak. So, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Schaefer Cox.
The dollar hose out of there, and the bubble starts to go down. That's a recession. You know what they taught me in high school, in the high school textbook? I was homeschooled, but they taught in the high school textbook, depressions are causeless anomalies. End quote. That's what they taught us. That's FDR, okay? This is the monetary system, okay? I've spent enough time on it. That's all on that. The next thing that we got to understand about how our system works is that, you know what, our senators and our congressmen in Washington, they're not nearly as powerful as you might think. One thing that I've learned from dealing with government and talking to these guys and trying to get down to the nitty-gritty of why can we not be free, why can we not do this, is they are afraid of the agencies. They're afraid of the IRS, the ATF, the DEC, all these other alphabet soup agencies, because what you do is you get this kind of a separate animal from government, you know. In our government, we're supposed to have the judicial that, you know, reviews and applies, you know, the executive that implements it, and the legislative that writes it. And what you do is you get an agency or a bureau. What the heck's a bureau? You know, we had ATF come to one of our meetings like this. We had 1,000 people, and we asked them, what's a bureau? They didn't know. I said, well, do you know what an agency is? No, they didn't know that either. Well, we got the Internal Revenue Service. What's a service? They didn't know that either. You know, we got the Transportation Security Administration. What's an administration? What are these things? Certainly you know what you are. They didn't know. We called the agencies and the services. They didn't know either. I don't know. I've worked here for 30 years. I never thought that question. It's like they were like Dilbert, you know? They worked there all this life in this cubicle, and they don't know why or what they do. You know, they didn't even know what those words meant. But I think there's something big under there with who they're accountable to. And I think that's, we got to dig that up. And I've been trying, but it's buried deep. I haven't found it yet. When it is, I'll send you an email. When I find out what a bureau is, I'll send you an email. Anyway, these bureaus and all these things, these animals, we don't know what they are, these unidentified species of government, they consolidate all three functions of government into one. They create regulations that have the force of law. They have their own enforcers that come out and kick your door in to make sure you're doing it. That's a legislative function to make the rules. It's an executive function to kick in your door. And then when you get dragged out of there with zip ties on your hand, you go before them. And you have a judicial function, and they review it themselves with an administrative hearing. That is the consolidation of all three of those powers. It's a loophole. It's a way to get around the checks and balances, and it's so entrenched, and it is so powerful in this government that we've got that our congressmen and our senators are scared of it. And you know what it's doing to them? It's making their role of writing legislation almost purely ceremonial. They're kind of just a dog and pony show. And we've got to realize that there's this other creature of government that wasn't intended by the founders that's coming right into our life, you know? We've got to reckon with this. This is some hard, bad stuff, you know? Here she's like, oh, you'll be so happy when you hear this guy, Mona says, you know? And here I am talking about all this horrible stuff, you know? I see your faces dropping, you know? Kicked in the teeth, you know, he says a minute ago, and then he does it. So the other thing that you can do is you can appeal to this government based on the rule of law, okay? You can call them on the carpet. You can go before a court. You can make your case based on logic. You can make your case based on the Constitution and have it all ironed out and all perfect, and you're appealing to them on the merits of law, and they won't hear you. Here's the way it'll go. We just got out of Continental Congress. The main reason that we were there is because we're being denied redress of grievances. What'll happen is you'll have a really sound, bulletproof, constitutionally based case, and you'll start fighting this case, and you'll start getting up through the tiers, you know, up there, and you'll get up to the Ninth Circuit Court. You guys are in the Ninth Circuit Court. It's horrible, I know, because Alaska's in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals too. You'll get up there to that Ninth Circuit Court with your case, and you want to go all the way to the Supreme Court and have this settled. And they'll say, we're not going to hear your case. Well, why not? And they say, well, because you don't have standing. Oh. Well, why don't I have standing? Because we're not going to hear your case. And that's what they say. That's not an oversimplification. That's what they say. Next, please. And that's it. And you know why that is? You know why they operate that way? You know why you can have the whole Constitution and the 16th Amendment, and you can prove how, you know, the income tax was never ratified and how it's unconstitutional and it was a temporary war measure. You can have all of these laws out here, you know, all right? And you can fight it based on all of these laws. And I know that there's some people in this room that have fought it based on those laws, you know, and you know what? There's way more people that haven't fought it.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
homeowners. Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Welcome back, Resurrect the Republic, Truth Radio broadcast on the Republic Broadcasting Network with a special treat for you guys today. One of the most powerful speeches I've ever heard someone running for Congress ever utter on a floor with a mic in his hand, Mr. Schaefer Cox.
Based on those laws, and let me tell you why. You didn't fight it based on those laws. Because our government does not operate under the rule of law. They operate under the rule of force. It's not the rule of law, it's the threat of force. That's what it is. You know how the Oxford English Dictionary defines terrorism? Government through intimidation. That is profound. Now, how many of you submit because you're intimidated? And how many of you submit because you really think the law requires you to do that, and that's, and that if there was a discrepancy, you could bring it to them and they would abide by the law? No, I submit because I'm scared, and I'm not too usually of a scaredy guy, you know? But that's what it is. We don't operate under the rule of law. We operate under the rule of force in this country, and that is pathetic and sad. And let me tell you what my most profound fear is. My deepest fear is that our government is not going to hear us until we speak to them in their language, which is force. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean violence. And don't get me wrong, I'm not against violence. I'm not against violence, okay? I'm not against spilling blood for freedom. I will kill for liberty. You know, everybody asks, would you die for liberty? That's not really the right question to ask. The right question to ask is, would you kill for liberty? Because if you would kill for liberty, it assumes that you would die for liberty. All right? Now, about this speaking to them in their language, force doesn't necessarily have to be violence. It can be just pushing them into submission to the law through nonviolent means. It can be hassling them into such a rock and a hard spot that they just got to do something. But we might not even have to do that, given what I'm going to, you know, keep talking about here. Now, the other thing, I keep saying second thing, like 20 second things. I couldn't count the other night, you know. They were like, and the third thing, and the fifth, and everybody correcting me on the counting is like, you're missing the point. I didn't come here to count. I came here to give a big idea. It can be packaged up in any numbers you want. And so anyway, forgive me on that. Here's an idea that, you know, you feel a little bit like you're going out on a limb to say this, or at least I do anyway. But you know what? I really believe it's true. And while I feel like I'm the first one to run out onto the, you know, field of battle with, you know, storm hell with a water pistol to say this, I think that you'll know that it's true in your heart. I don't think that we can beat them at the polls. Now, that might sound very defeatist, but let me tell you why. Because you can't overcome votes that are bought and paid for with money that was stolen from you. And they know that. And they know that all they have to do is steal enough money from a broad enough base and give it to just a big enough base to secure their reelection. They've figured it out. They've refined it over the years. And you know what they do? They just keep sending us back into that fruitless eddy of vote them out. If you're mad, vote them out, you know. And then they go behind their closed doors, they snicker, and they go, ha, ha, ha. They'll never be able to overcome all the people that are dependent on the money we rob and give to them. And as long as we keep them just focusing on this one single recourse of if you don't like it, vote them out, they'll go in circles for forever and we can keep this gig going for years. That's what they say. In fact, I've been there for some of those, you know, and it's just, and then you're like, hey guys, this isn't right. And they're like, look, buddy, you're out of the club. You know, that's the way it goes. So that's why you feel this way. That sinking feeling in your gut that you felt, you've all felt that, right? I've felt that. The sinking feeling in your gut is the expected feeling when somebody says, go do this thing. And you've never put, you know, that's impossible, this impossible task. You know, it's like, oh, there's a freight train coming. Let's all dive in front of it. Maybe we can stop it. You know, that's kind of, it's like, oh, I know it's not going to work. But what else do we have? And so it's like, throw your life into changing this freight train of government. Maybe you'll stop it. Your heart sinks at that. Because at a deep, deep level, you know what I just said. Even if you never put it into words, even if you never heard a speaker lay it out into words, you knew it was there. You sensed it. You smelt it. You knew what it was. So that's where we are. Now, that leaves us in kind of a bad situation. Let me get some water here. That leaves us in kind of a difficult situation. But you know what? What's a hero without a difficult situation? I'm going to talk about heroes for a second here. Hope that was mine. All right, it is now. All right, I want to tell you a story. Because I look out here and I see a lot of really great people. You know, I've gone and talked to a lot of different places. Whenever I talk to Montana, I really feel welcome. There is a real kindred spirit. There are pioneers in Alaska, and there are pioneers in Montana. And I really feel like I'm in good company. I didn't say this to Chicago, okay? When I was talking to them, I was like, well, guys, it's a long road, but you can do it if you work hard. You know, you can do it. You know, that's what I said to them. But I really feel like I'm in good company here in Montana, you know, second only to, you know, my own kinsmen and countrymen in Alaska. So when I see that pioneering spirit, that's what America needs. And I want to talk to you a few times about when I was young and, you know, discovered some pioneering spirit, okay? I was in Alaska, and there's all kinds of adventures to do there. It's huge, you know. We live in the Tanana Valley. The Tanana Valley is the size of Texas. And it's just, there's 30,000 people just right in the center, and that's it. And so there's just all this wilderness and all this opportunity. Now, the feds, I'll tattle on them a little bit because I never pass up an opportunity to bash government. They came to Alaska, and they just in total disregard of Article 1, Section 8, where it says no, you know, they can have forts, docks, arsenals, shipyards, and other needful buildings, you know, and exercise like authority over such as shall be necessary. That's it. No land. No federal land. They just totally ignored that rule of force again, instead of rule of law, which is the Constitution. I had this in my pocket. If any of you wondered why he keeps tapping his pocket, because that's where my Constitution is. So they took just billions of acres of Alaska, and they turned it into Federal Bureau of Land Management land. And people who'd lived there their whole lives and had homesteads there that was their fathers before them and their fathers before them, the feds showed up and they're like, you can't have this anymore here because we own it now. And they're, oh, wait a tick. And they're like, nope, no waiting a tick. Get out. That's what the feds said. And they said, well, the law says, we don't care what the law says. We got a black helicopter and guys with guns. You know, that's just how they operate. How do you argue with that? So what they did is instead of fight people off their land, what they'd do is they'd just wait until these old sourdoughs, miners, homesteaders, whatever, just living off the land out there, minding their own business, been there for generations. They wait till they come to town to get, you know, flour and bullets, and BLM would burn their cabin, burn their homestead. There's a lot of animosity in Alaska towards the feds, and rightfully so, because that is just wrong. So, with that being the case, people hide their cabins, you know. They put brush on them and stuff. They make them look like a beaver house, you know, so that the feds won't find them. And this story starts with just one such squatter cabin. That's what they're called, squatter cabins. Well, you know, when I got to Alaska, I was into hunting and fishing and trapping, and I wanted to go out to the Yukon Flats where there was good trapping. You know, I'd heard it was real good out there. You know, hadn't been anybody out there for a long time. I wanted to go see what that was. You know, I was 17 years old, rip-roaring for an adventure. I'd kind of already left home. You know, I left home when I was about 16 and went worked commercial fishing and, you know, went climbing mountains, you know, climbed to McKinley and, you know, all sorts of adventures and just everything that the frontier had to offer an ambitious young guy. And I wanted to go out there, and I wanted to be in this cabin. So I got a friend of mine to fly me out there. Secret cabin, nobody knows where it is. And he goes, well, how long do you want to stay out here? And I said, well, 2 weeks. I got 3 or 4 weeks worth of food. Come on back in 2 weeks. If the trapping's good, I might stay a little longer. So he flew me out there, and he dropped me off, and, you know, the weather was kind of coming in, and we had to come through the mountains, and lots of people die flying in Alaska. There's all these cabins out there, and, you know, people live in them and stuff, and, you know, I've heard of these, you know, crotchety old geezers that live out in this cabin all their life, you know, and never come into town and stuff. That's pretty common, but it's kind of new for me, you know. And so he dropped me off out there, and he flew away, and I remember watching that Super Cub take off and shake the skis and the blast of the prop wash and the snowy ice crystals. It's, you know, 50 below, you know, it's really cold. And it got dropped off there right about Christmas. And he flew off, and I watched him circle around and head back towards those mountains, you know, as the clouds were coming down. And I just watched until the sound of that airplane went away. And it was just me there left in the deafening silence, all by myself. Total isolation. It was 200 miles to the nearest road, and then there was another, like, 180 miles to the pipeline where there would be a pump station with people. And so I said about that, you know, and I was, you know, getting set up in the cabin and trapping and stuff. I didn't see another person for 6 months. The guy didn't come back for 6 months. Now, I told this story last night, and I forgot to tell people why he didn't come back. So I'll just get to that right now, and then get back to the story. He went back to town, and he went to Hawaii. And he told his buddy, hey, go check on this kid out in this cabin. And the guy tried to come out and check on me and got turned around by weather. Then the guy tried to come and check on me again, got turned around by weather, same thing. Then the original pilot got back from Hawaii. And the friend was like, oh, he'll go get him now. And so they both thought that the other one got me, and it took them that long to figure out, hey, that kid ever get any good fur out there? I don't know. You're hauled him in. No. You know? And so they came out there and got me. But you know what? That pressure and that dark, you know, I mean, it's 50 below. It's dark all the time. You just got, you know, an hour and a half of daylight. There was one, I saw Alaska Airlines fly over once a day at 30,000 feet. They never saw me, you know, for 6 months. And, you know, you go through a process out there. You go through a process. And you know what I've seen? I've seen myself go through that process politically. And I think that I'm seeing people all over the country go through the process. You get out there and you're just defeated. You know, you wanted to get out there so bad from town. Then you get out there and it just sucks. You're just stranded out there. You can't, there's no escaping. You start to go nuts. You hate your situation out there. Here you figure that the plane must have crashed and burned and they thought both of us were in it. Or he crashed, they found it, but nobody knows where the squatter cabin is because it's a secret. You know, how are we going to get out of here, you know? And, you know, there was a Beaver Creek there, and I figured, you know, I was working on making a bowl boat. And I figured, well, when breakup comes and the ice flow goes out, I'll float down Beaver Creek to Victoria Creek. Float down Victoria Creek to the Yukon River. I'll float down the Yukon River to the pipeline bridge, and there'll be people there. I can get in a pipeline service truck and get a ride back to Fairbanks, you know. So this is like 600, 700 river miles because they, you know, go like this, you know. And in a bowl, you know, is my plan. You know, that's my hope. You want to talk about hope and change? There's some hope and change for you. So, you know, here's what I learned in that situation, because I sat down in the darkness and I was just defeated and I was feeling sorry for myself and I was hating my situation and I was loathing it and I was thinking about what if, and these unsurmountable challenges that are just more than any guy could deal with. And you know what hit me? You know what I got taught in that situation? Is that you're never where you want to be until you want to be where you are. And you know what? That was a dark, hard, challenging situation. And right now, with where our country's at and the way it's toppling and falling, our government is, we're in a dark, hard situation. But we're never going to be where we want to be until we want to be where we are. And we've got to just go ahead and gulp and accept the fate and the mission that has been plopped in our lap just by us being here at this time in history. And so long as we fight that, the longer it'll be until we can rise up and seize the day and be what history is longing for us to be. And you know what? Times are dire. I'll tell you another time where I kind of had this same feeling where it was hopeless and then you just had to gulp and rise to the occasion. It is climbing McKinley. You know, I've led three separate expeditions to the top of McKinley. There's, you know, a lot of people die on McKinley. There's bodies all along the trail. You know, there's no way to get them off of there. And first one was with a 62-year-old guy from Michigan who was just a great guy. He'd not done much climbing, but he was Ironman triathlete and just a really great companion and friend. And that was great. It was a wonderful trip. Then the second time was with my dad just before I got married. And then the third time was with my wife and my best friend a few years ago. And I'd like to one day when my son's old enough, or maybe a few sons are old enough, to take them up there, because it's an experience that I want to go through with them, that firing experience. You know, it's hard, and there's a special bond from people who've come together and overcome in a situation like that. And I see that bond being forged by all these people in this room, because we've got a mountain, and there's times when you're on a wind-blown knife-edge ridge. And you know that there's a really good chance that not everybody in your expedition is going to live. And they need somebody to pull them together and seize the day and say, we can make it. And we can do it, and we can try, and let's press on and let's be victorious. And you can just gripe and be defeated and characterized by the horrible situation that's around you. Or you can be what that horrible situation calls for. That's in our nature as human beings. And that's what we need to do. You know, it's like when you're sailing out, you know. Another time when I felt this feeling is when, you know, I'm out sailing on my sailboat. And remember, I got way far out from shore You know, there's about a three-day jaunt where it's, you know, rocky cliffs and there's no place to hide. And you got to go down there for 3 days and hope for good weather. And you can't predict the weather 3 days out. So you just wait till it's good and hope it holds. And we were cruising down there. Actually, it wasn't we. It was just me that time. My wife wasn't with me. She was back in town. I was out sea cucumber diving. And I'm going down this rocky shore, and I'm about, you know, 25 miles offshore. And this horrible, horrible storm comes in. And it came from off the land, which is the worst kinds, because then they're really cold. They come out of Canada. And it comes pouring over the mountains, and I'm out here on this boat by myself, and I'm having to make it to shelter.
We'll be right back. Resurrect the Republic Truth Radio broadcast with Schaefer Cox's speech.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Radio broadcast with an extremely powerful speech by Mr. Schaefer Cox, who sits in a political prison cell. And when I tell you that we need your support, Hashtag FreeSchaeferCox.com. You can also go to the Year of Jubilee with one E. .com. Rudy and Aaron Davis, who are hosts of this show, advocating hardcore for this fine young American. So let's get back to it. Schaefer Cox.
And I see just the blackness on the horizon. And I'm listening on the VHF radio, you know, seas 25 feet. You know, shoot, my boat's only 35 feet, you know. You know, small craft advisory, you know, and then the wind gets really tight and those waves get stuck really close together. That's when they're dangerous. It's not, you can have a 60, 70 foot sea, no problem. If they're rollies that are nice and far apart and you just go down one and up the, no problem. But when you get a 25 foot sea that is, you know, 25 seconds apart and they're stacked in there close, boom, boom, they start pounding your boat. They start coming over. They start filling it. You know, if your pumps can't keep up, you sink. And they usually don't find you. And you can't swim very well. And the water's like just warm enough to be moving in Alaska. And here you see this storm out there. And so this is a different kind of situation where you're in a position of relative comfort. But you see this hell on the horizon. And you know that you've got a challenge. You've already been up for a day and a half. And you know you're going to have to be up for another day and a half to pilot this boat in. And if it gets worse, it might drag on further. And you're going to have to go with no sleep. You're not going to be able to leave the tiller to eat or drink much. You might be able to lash it down just for a minute, enough to go get some water and a cracker or something. And this is going to, you don't have anybody to trade off with. You don't know if you're going to get exhausted. You don't know if you're going to get washed off of the boat. And you got, you know, it's catch 22. If you tie yourself to the boat and it flips over, sailboats, if they're battened down correctly, they will right themselves. But when you got all those sails, it can take, you know, 6-7 minutes for those sails to move through the water while that keel pulls the sailboat over. Then once that sail gets in the air, it comes back up. You know, and you can ride a sailboat that way. So if you tie yourself, well, then are you going to drown while you're underneath there? Or are you going to not tie yourself on there and maybe get washed off your sailboat and have it go and you stay? And so you're thinking about all these things, you know, and lots of dangers. And you got to reckon with this. If you haven't reckoned with what might be yet to come, you'll be crippled by what's at hand. And you know what? We've got some dark clouds on the horizon. And we need to honest up and talk about those and what we're going to do. Otherwise, we're going to be useless at what's at hand. If you haven't gulped it down and say, yeah, I might die in that storm, and now I'm going to get ready for it. If you just sit there and you just stare at them, not wanting to let your mind go through the process that would say that you might die, you're going to be useless.
We'll be back in the second hour, Resurrect the Republic Truth Radio broadcast on RBN.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.